The views and opinions expressed by hosts and guests on Patriots with Grit do not necessarily reflect those of Patriots with Grit LLC, its founders, and owners.
Get ready for truth bombs and guidance from conservative leaders and entrepreneurs, from God-fearing, freedom-loving, truth-telling, patriotic Americans. Welcome to Patriots with Grit. Now let's jump into today's episode with your host, Darren Ross.
Well, hey there, PWG family. If you're like us, you probably noticed all the rapid increase of data centers all over the Midwest and all over the country, really. Randy, it's a boom like I've never seen.
Yeah, there's something really fishy about it. You know, we got a whole bunch of questions about it, but in locally here in the Kansas City area, what'd they say? There's 31 data centers?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I had no idea. The problem is there are some lawful, so-called lawful things going on in the negotiations of these data centers, but yet the political leaders do not want to tell the public. There's no transparency, and then it makes you wonder, it may be lawful, but is it ethical?
I tell you, these communities, these cities, and these counties are steamrolling over the people like they've never had done before. I tell you, we've got a great gal on our show today. She's a prolific researcher. She's a blogger. She's great at digging in, finding out truth. Let's get to it. Have her on right now. Well, hey, Jen Bishop, it's awesome to have you on here today on Patriots with Grit. We ran on to you quite a few weeks ago. Randy, I was telling you about all this data center craziness and nonsense going on. And I ran across her through a Facebook page, and then we ran onto her at some local events. And I'm like, this gal can do some serious deep dive research. And she's tech savvy, and she's comfortable on camera. And I'm like, man, we got to get her on.
So my question to start this off with you is, why have you put this burden on your shoulders to deal with the research for the local data center in Liberty, Missouri?
Well, if there's anything I've learned recently is that people do not like to read. They just go off of headlines. So I felt like if I started diving into this and doing my own research, that I could probably summarize some of this stuff and provide it to the people and hopefully get the ball rolling on others asking questions and basically holding these people accountable if they're doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
Well, what's strange to me is it seems like this whole data center boom has just kind of appeared out of nowhere in the last, Randy, you were talking today, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, we knew they were around. We knew that they were doing some stuff. But just in the last several months, it just seems like there's been an explosion in this whole data center trend. And Liberty, Missouri, of all places, which, you know, Jen, you live close. I lived there for years, went to college there. Randy, you know where it is. Mm-hmm. I called them the other day. I called the Board of Elections. I said, hey, I want to know how many registered voters there are in Liberty, Missouri. And the number they gave me was 20,162.
Okay.
So we just recently had a couple of elections here locally in the Clay County area and surrounding areas, uh-huh. And I found out a little more data, and there was anywhere between 9 and 11% voter turnout. And I'm like, that's kind of concerning, Randy, when people won't even stand up or show up to vote. And here's the way I look at this. A lot of these data center people behind them, whether it's the local politicians or county commissioners or city council, whatever, it seems like a lot of this stuff is just kind of happening without people knowing about it. And my firm belief is you could go door to door to all 20,162 registered voters in Liberty, Missouri, and knock on their door. Hey, do you know about the data center? No, we don't. Well, how about what would happen if we told you that down the road, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, but your real estate property taxes and your personal property taxes are going to increase exponentially? Would you show up to voice your opposition? And I would say, Randy, 9 out of 10 people would be like, no, I have soccer. I've got a date night with my wife. You know, I've got to play something on my smartphone. I'm eating somebody for Starbucks. I can't come, but just let us know how it ends up. I personally think most people would not show up. And I hate to say this, but people deserve to be taxed out of it. They need to be taxed out of their mind because they are just so noncommittal. They have no interest in what's going on. They don't care what's going on. And these kind of things can appear. They can get tax abatements. They can get everything possible. And the normal, everyday citizen, resident, voter won't show up in opposition. Am I correct or am I way off base, Jen?
You are absolutely correct. Ask me how many people showed up to the city council meeting.
I want to ask you, out of the 20,162 registered voters in the city of Liberty, Missouri, in Clay County, how many people showed up to voice their opposition, if you were guessing?
8 people.
Hey, Randy, I'm not even going to do the math on it because it's not even worth the time.
So what that tells them is that tells our leaders that we elected, they can do whatever they want because only less than a 100th of a percent of the people show up to oppose.
Well, so I guess, and I actually just lied to you because if I'm correct, majority of the people that I know showed up aren't even Liberty residents. So that actually probably knocked that down to two people.
That's amazing. Absolutely, absolutely amazing to me that people aren't aren't showing up for this stuff. And my personal opinion is that these politicians, these city councilmen, these commissioners, these mayors, these planning and zoning people, they know that. They know there's not going to be an opposition because people don't care. And they know they can get whatever passed whenever they want to pass it with virtually no pushback.
Yes. So everything that they did was legal. I want to be clear. And I've said that many times. I'm very fact-based. Everything was done legally, but because the requirements are so minimal, there is a lot that they can do. And it won't matter what political aisle this person belongs on. If they are in office at this position, they can basically do whatever they want. They can push agendas that the public wouldn't even know about until after it's already complete, which is what we're seeing with this data center here in Liberty.
So let's start with just a little bit of a prelude here. What is it that you think these cities and these, I'm going to call them administrators, public officials.
And we're not talking just Liberty. We're talking about all anywhere. Over the country, right. Primarily in the Midwest, because we're seeing a huge surge of these data centers in the Midwest.
What is the attraction? Because in the case of most of these, they're getting big property tax breaks. So are they giving up a bunch of taxes to get a little bit? Fill us in on how
I'm going to jump in here before you answer. I think the attraction, number one, is location. Central to the U.S., land's fairly affordable compared to the coasts. And available resources, electric and power.
Well, I won't pretend to be an expert. I've only been on this data center run for about 4 weeks now. But I will tell you that there's about 4,088 across the country right now. And in Missouri alone, I want to say that the number is about 71. And then the KC metro area, it's 31.
31 data centers in Kansas City?
Whoa, yes. I didn't have any idea.
Well, the reason I ask is I've met a guy on Sunday. I went to go pick up something, and this guy works for a large excavating company who's doing a lot of the work on the data centers. And I obviously didn't know how many there were. He said, I'll tell you this. There's three Google ones in the Kansas City area right now. He said, there's more planned. There's one in Independence, the one coming to Liberty. And then we found out here the other day that there's one coming to Camdenton, Missouri, which is Lake of the Ozarks. And I'm like, Lake of the Ozarks? What do they need a half a million square foot data center at Lake of the Ozarks for? But I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jen. Jump in. Keep going.
No, you're fine. No, all I was going to say is that, so, and this is just kind of what I've found on my own. And again, I'm not an expert on this, but I believe that these will be obsolete in a few years. And that is what I'm being told.
Yep.
So the question that I've always had is then why do you need this massive warehouse that's just basically taking up space if you're saying that it's obsolete in a couple of years, if it's not obsolete in the next few months? And the biggest thing that I can come up with as far as a conclusion on this is that the mayor actually said it after the city council meeting with the people. Then this was recorded, but he wasn't necessarily on the record as far as with the people. So he had stated that anyone could come in and purchase these properties after the fact. And so I started looking and questioning, okay, well, who would want to come in and purchase these properties? He mentioned about foreign countries possibly, which like the one Nebius in Independence, that's owned by an Israeli company. And I think they're based out of Amsterdam. And my concern is that we don't really know, we don't know who the tenants are. And I'll explain more about what the tenants would be doing here at the data center. But we don't know who the tenants are. We also don't know who would come in after the fact and purchase this area and what they would be using it for. We barely know what it's going to be used for now other than storing data. And we don't know what data and what company will be doing that. But we have no clue.
Well, there's no transparency because they're intentionally hiding behind the name Metro, or was it Metro Box. And I mean, that's probably a third tier or fifth tier name, and then in they're hiding who the actual owners and operators are. So there's so many other issues with this. We know I just saw Robert F. Kennedy Jr. testify with Josh Hawley that these put off large amounts of EMF and psychological noise and everything else. Okay, let's just say that it doesn't. You've already mentioned that there could be obsolete in as much as 5 years, and we've heard the same thing from other tech, tech people. This is unneeded technology. That makes me think this is a big money laundering
operation. Well, I think technology is getting smaller and faster and more productive every day. But yet they're building these monster, behemoth, huge data centers. Randy and I had a conversation today, and I should put my tinfoil hat on I have over here. But I said, I just think a lot of this has to do with the public-private partnerships. You know, government wants to do this track, trace, and surveil, everything you want to do. They want to put up flock cameras everywhere. They want to do data centers. Mm-hmm. In the next few years, they want to put all this technology in your cars to look at your eye movements and know if you've been drinking or haven't been drinking, or if you're on your phone or not on your phone. I think a lot of this is just big government putting these people as the front men so they won't know, and perpetuating this on the people, and we're all paying the bill.
I mean, I can't deny that, because at this point, I'm not being told that that's not happening. And so that's where the, you know, trust but verify comes in. I can't trust this because I can't even get verification. Everything that I'm having to find, I have to dig for. And I'm a person that will dig and dig and dig until there's nothing left. But most people don't do that.
Right.
So when you have a situation like this, and I believe that surveillance is a huge piece of it, we see that. I mean, a government official that would walk into your home could tell you that, I mean, multiple devices, whether they're turned on or not, my TV right here can hear what I'm saying. I mean, there's technology, and this has been around for a long time. And I mean, as much as we've been doing on our phones now, it's hard for me to believe that AI is growing at such a rapid pace that we need massive data centers to store all this data, when we've been storing data off of devices as small as my cell phone.
I told Randy today, I said, it's been 25 years since 9/11 and when they introduced the Patriot Act. I said, I think this is today's modern digital version of the Patriot Act.
Yeah, I could see that.
With all the data centers.
I can absolutely see that.
You know, we've talked about, there's so many things to talk about. I know we have so many bullet points we want to cover, and you do too, Jen. But I want to talk about the money behind this. I may or may not have had a long belly-to-belly, toe-to-toe, head-to-head conversation with the local assessor back at the end of December, because I'm not one too very fond of paying taxes at the end of the year on my real estate and personal property. So he and I may or may not have had a conversation that was a very good conversation. I respect this man highly. His conversation to me basically was, why are all these big data centers, at the time he was referring to Meta and Google up by Smithville, why are all these data centers getting these massive tax abatements, millions, tens of millions, and millions of dollars, when the everyday homeowner, everyday working American, the HVAC guy, the plumber, the farmer, they're burdened and saddled to no end with increasing real estate taxes, with increasing personal property taxes. Yet companies like these, Metroblox, get a pass. They come in and want to spend, I don't know how many millions of dollars, 200 and some million dollars. They get, what was it, $200 and some million dollar tax abatement?
Over 20 years.
Oh, yeah, $202.7 million in tax abatements over 25 years.
Because the investment's like, what, $1.4 billion, give or take?
Yes, 1.4.
They're getting a $200 and some million tax abatement, while Joe's used cars or whatever, when he puts in a building or builds a building or moves into a facility, he's probably not getting much in the way of abatement, is he?
No. I can speak from the oil and gas industry, because that's what my background was originally. I know that when oil and gas first started, any energy industry, that they usually offer tax abatements at the beginning. And that's usually just because they want to entice someone to build and to bring it here locally, right? So whenever this all started, and I understand it from a business standpoint, you want to attract the people and say, hey, if you build here, we'll give you all of this tax-free, and then you just give us a little bit, and then we'll call it even in 25 years. The concern with that, and this is how I look at it, if I have a drilling rig or an offshore platform, and this, I'm just saying, if this company receives a tax abatement at the beginning, I know that oil right there is probably going to produce enough oil to last I don't know, 50 or 60 years. Some of these platforms don't even shut in for 35 years. So I know that I'm going to get my money's worth and they're going to be providing back into the community. Plus those create jobs. Right. I grew up in Louisiana. And so it was a huge oil and gas industry at the time when we had a Republican governor. And all of those people there, everyone that you talk to, they were in oil and gas. My entire family's in oil and gas. So it produced jobs and they were able to put back into the local businesses. Data centers don't create jobs. You maybe need 4 to 12 people to run those. And those 4 to 12 people can do that job remotely. And the jobs that they create at the beginning are construction jobs. They are not permanent jobs. So right. They come in, they build this facility. It's kind of like when you have a hurricane and you
flash
have
the pan.
Linemen come down, they do their work, and then they leave, right?
They eat a few meals, spend a few nights, and they're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And then where do you put those people too when they come into town? And, you know, there's other issues that come into play with that. But it's kind of like a gold rush or a boom. You have a bunch of blue collar workers will come in and they can provide for their family for maybe 6 months and then they're done with that job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't see a lot of incentives to keep them around. Plus, if they're obsolete in a few years, we don't know that another company, let's say Google or someone bigger, comes in and wants to purchase all of the data centers in this area. Okay. They can do that. They can buy out of all these contracts because they're billionaires. And once they buy out of those contracts, then guess what? The city gets no say in how that contract's set up. They get no say in how any of this is done. That's how I'm looking at it.
So I want to know, I believe this data center, if I'm correct, I think I saw some of the documents where you had sent or researched, maybe 80 jobs, give or take.
Well, it's actually funny because they have said anywhere from 30 jobs. And then this is on several different posts up to, I think the official data center FAQ says 75 jobs.
So let's just say 43 jobs, because I don't want to overestimate and be a disseminator.
Those are probably construction.
Misinformation here. So I want to know what funds or what kind of money is generated. Is the data sold? I mean, how are these data centers making money? What is it that they're doing? Are they just procuring this data? Are they refining the data? Are they mining the data? Are they selling the data? And is there any tax added onto that? Because God knows now every city, I mean, dance lessons now, they want to charge tax on dance lessons in a lot of these cities. But so we've trained our daughters, Randy, not mine. Randy and I aren't together, just so everybody knows. Yeah. Randy, my wife and our daughters, we've trained our daughters to try to pay as least amount of tax as possible. So they're over at our house all the time. We're in the county. So anytime they order stuff online, whether it's big purchases, small purchases, Amazon, they will ship their packages to our house because the City of Liberty does not get sales tax revenue. And our tax rate's about 5.4%. Liberty's is pushing 10. So, you know, that's a good little savings when you have several kids buying a lot of stuff. So I am trying to educate them on the importance of not getting stuff and giving Liberty sales tax revenue. But my point is, what kind of revenue will be generated that the city might benefit from this data center?
Well, that's the question. I have their paperwork here, and it just says that taxing jurisdictions will receive approximately $49 million. And when they break that down, they tell us that, and there's a lot of unknowns here, and I'm still fact-finding on this. I did a Sunshine Law request about 30 days ago, and the due date is tomorrow, and we did receive a response on that today, so I'll go into that a little bit later. But a lot of the questions I asked were around those topics. And the only thing I have right now is that I know that there's $202.7 million in tax abatements, and there's 75% abated tax for 25 years. The personal property tax would be years 1 through 5, 100% tax abatement. Years 6 through 25, 90% tax abatement. And the tenants that would, and I don't know how data centers work, but I'm just going to visualize a big warehouse, and we'll say there's 3 rooms in this warehouse. Each of these rooms would be occupied by a tenant, and that tenant could be, it could be a local bank, the other one could be a hospital, and then there could be another one that's just some IT guy, right? And he wants to store all his data there. Each of those tenants would then pay about $2 back to the nonprofit.
Say the number again, Jen. You kind of broke up on us.
That's okay. The tenants would pay about $2 million per year. That's just kind of an estimate. $2 million per year to the nonprofit that was set up by the City of Liberty. And then the developer would then pay $1 million back to that nonprofit. So I don't really know what they're receiving as far as profit, because there are more than likely NDAs involved, and we don't know the deals that they made with those tenants. So the tenants, I'm just guessing, they could be paying $6 million, and a portion of that goes to the nonprofit, which would be the $2 million, and then the other $4 million maybe goes to Metroblox. That's an assumption, because I don't have those facts.
So a lot of these people that are all giddy and excited and all jumpy about data centers, in my opinion, they're lawyers, they're developers, they're local politicians, city council, commissioners, planning and zoning people, mayors. They're the ones calling the shots. And I know that, in my opinion, their favorite radio station is WIIFM, which stands for What's In It For Me. Talk to us a little bit about that, Jen. Do you think that a lot of these people are getting their wheels greased and their pockets lined from these in some way, shape, or form?
That is still an unknown. I will tell you that after, when I first started this and I looked at how this nonprofit was set up, I really did believe that there was something nefarious behind it. But then after the mayor talked to the few people that were there at the city council meeting, he said a couple of things that were a little bit concerning for me. And one of them was that there wasn't a lot of research done before they agreed to this project. So one of the questions that we asked, and we asked this in the Sunshine Law, is there any feasibility studies that were done, or did they test the soil? Did they speak with Evergy about the infrastructure to see if our infrastructure could even handle this type of project? And some of those things they did do, but they didn't research EMFs. They didn't research any air quality. They didn't research wastewater and what happens with that. I know that they didn't research much of anything. The main response that we got from the mayor was that, hey, if we didn't take it and build it here in Liberty, then someone else like Excelsior or Kearney could have gotten it. And so a couple of the people in the audience at the time had said, well, that sounds great to us. I mean, I'd rather you say no and ask for more information before just blindly accepting something. And he said, well, the City of Liberty would have had to pay for those feasibility studies. And we just didn't think that that was a good option. And so what I've been telling people is that they purchased a gold-plated turd, basically. We have no idea
what is going to happen. That could be our thumbnail for the show, Randy, a gold-plated turd.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I feel like they saw dollar signs and thought, wow, we're going to get $49 million and we're going to do some great things with this without looking at the fine print. And that's concerning to me. I mean, I fact find all the time, and I can barely find information about what these data centers are being used for other than storing data. And what data is that they're storing?
Yeah, that's probably the NDA part that you're not going to get. But absolutely, the rest of it beyond that, our elected officials better be bending over backwards to be transparent and not telling us that we're not, you know, you're not going to get a sunshine request and you're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me what do you know about the nonprofit and how that even factors into this? Because that money is not controlled by the taxpayers.
Correct, which was a big concern for me. Whenever I elect an official, and I know I'm not a Liberty resident, but when I elect an official, they're speaking on behalf of me. And so in order for elected officials to speak on behalf of the people, you cannot have non-disclosure agreements tied into this, because then you cannot disclose to the public all of the information. Therefore, you're making a decision on behalf of 20,000 voters and saying, hey, we're making this decision for you. You're just going to have to trust us. Well, maybe a few people know the mayor, but I don't know the mayor. And I don't know what his agenda is. I don't know what his background is. I know he's an attorney, and frankly, I've never really trusted any attorneys. So I would question, where are you in this whole process? And when I started looking at the nonprofit, the way that it was set up is it had Mayor Knutson on the board, Kevin Graham, who is also an attorney, Kelly Wren Posel, who is a Liberty City Councilwoman, and she's an admin assistant at the Center for Human Services. Mike Hagan, a Liberty Councilman, and he's an employee at B&B Theater. Jeff Dima, a CEO and board member of the Over the Road Trucking and Leasing, and a Fox Point board member. Carly Schneider, a yoga instructor, and Garrett Brown, an art teacher with Liberty Public Schools. After the meeting for the city town council that people had attended, the mayor was talking afterwards. And when he was discussing this with the people, he said it would be unlawful for the city to receive this money. And my biggest question, I didn't get to attend the meeting because we were at track that day, but I was questioning, why would you say that it's unlawful for the city to receive this money, but then you put the city on the board and you make it to where we don't have rights. There's no sunshine law that protects us as citizens. This is a 501c3 nonprofit. So it's a private entity. They create their bylaws. They do everything. We don't have any rights to view that information. We don't have any rights to audit. I've specifically asked them these questions if they would be willing to do that. We had a Bailey Baskell actually at the meeting asked, is there any way that the city could or the people could appoint people on the board? Like, let's say you're on the board now, but eventually you'll get off the board and maybe then we can get a reason to appoint people and people we trust, kind of like elected officials. Right. And he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That would not happen. He said that was crazy talk.
You know what's crazy about it to me is it's not an independent group of board members. And if I understand it right, nonprofits can pay their board members.
They absolutely can. And I did ask if they would be receiving any funds from this. The questions I asked, I actually sent this to a state rep. I met with last weekend, I met with two state reps and I sent this email to them. And they are, these are the same questions that I've asked the city, but they have refused to answer. There are about 43 questions and they cover the nonprofit, governance and ethics, the community benefits agreement and payment enforcement, public notice and public process, utilities, water and infrastructure, tax abatement, jobs and public return, and then NDA information access. And I'm happy to share these questions with you guys.
You know, let's get that document in Google Documents and we'll drop it in the show notes. You good with that?
It's in there. I saw it.
This show is going to be rich with show notes, by the way. So people need to find those Google links in there.
Let's go the next step here. So do we know what the nonprofit does? It's not just a holding place for money, apparently.
Let's talk about the nonprofit. Is this what you'll be titled here, Jen, the Liberty Institute for Science and Ethics?
Yes, that is it.
So I know that they can put all kinds of yummy words and create word salad, but what is the Liberty Institute for Science and Ethics? Do you have any clue or any idea?
I don't really know. I was going to look here on this to see if they stated what it was. So I know that the mayor had spoke about them researching AI and AI technology, and they were, when they originally explained this to me, I'm going to be honest, it really sounded kind of like a Somalian daycare setup to me, where you have a...
Like the Learning Center? And Liberty Learning Center?
Yeah, yes, okay. Absolutely, the Learning Center.
They should just call it that. So, I mean, it would have resonated with more people. They would understand it a lot better.
The key word to me that kind of throws a red flag is ethics.
I know. So here it is right here, and it says that it's an independent nonprofit corporation established for charitable, scientific, and educational purposes to benefit the Liberty higher education community. So they're supposed to explore ethical impact of artificial intelligence, robotics, and other emergent technologies, conduct, sponsor, and support scientific research activities and program that advance knowledge and innovation in emerging technologies, conduct, sponsor, and support activities and programs that advance liberal arts and humanities, establish, fund, and administer scholarship programs for students, and then collaborate with educational institutions, government entities, and then businesses and organizations. And that's great and all, but I think one of the concerns that I found whenever I was looking at this is that they're going to be housing this at William Jewell, and it's not to tear down any William Jewell alumni or anyone
that would be me.
Okay, well, sad get ready. To say,
I'm not very proud of it today. I will say that, but you know, it is what it is. 40 years ago, it was a great college.
Well, and I know I offend a lot of people, and it's never intentional. I just go based on facts. But one of the things I found out is that they are struggling financially.
Yes, they are.
They have been for a few years. And
I wonder what caused that. What was the beginning of that? Oh, I know, when they stepped away from the Missouri Baptist or the Southern Baptist Convention, when they lost their morals, their ethics, and their values, and they went all goofy. And they've been struggling ever since.
It 100% became a liberal college, I know, at least since I've lived here in this area.
I mean, it was called Liberal Arts College when I was there, but I don't ever remember it being off the rails like it is today. And then they wonder why they're struggling.
Well, and then my concern is, so I don't know what the setup is going to look like there. I don't know if they're going to have a classroom. I don't know, like I said, Somalian daycare. I don't know if it's just going to be some broom closet with, you know, Liberty Institute for Science and Ethics on it. I don't know how that's going to be set up. And they don't have to tell me. I mean, legally, they don't have to say anything. Okay. The concern, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. This is just really on my heart, is two things. The lack of transparency, or three things, lack of transparency, why absolutely not can a independent board be established? The taxpayers have no control over that money. But then you throw in the fact that the LLC, the nonprofit, was set up in Delaware. Everything that I've seen on any podcast,
Nevada, Delaware, that's common.
I think the biggest thing with that is when people set them up, they look for the cheapest avenue. And I guess my concern with everything too, within the community benefits agreement, one of the things that they talk about and they're raving about with this $49 million they're going to receive is that $30 million of that is going to go to the schools, the public schools. And I'm sure, again, I'll probably offend a lot of people on this, but I was a public school kid. I'm actually Catholic, conservative, Republican. My kids have attended the public school here. They've attended in Louisiana. They've attended everywhere. We've moved all over. They also attended the Catholic private schools, and now they are actually virtual public school, and I do a hybrid method of homeschooling, right? And so one of the concerns that I had was that if this $30 million is going here to the schools, I already can't get the school board members to respond to me or even acknowledge me when I'm asking questions. And then we have things like protests and things at the school, or you have critical race theory that might be taught there. Or I had the situation with the designer baby a few years ago. And I guess a lot of the concern I have is the state auditor a few weeks ago stated that we're 40th in the nation in education. And about 2/3 of the kids are not even on level with math, reading, and science. So what makes the Liberty Ethics Institute think that throwing $30 million at this school district when we already have kids declining is going to be the best option? I mean, technology is already causing so many issues with these kids. And myself pulling my own kids out, I still pay $500 in property tax. You know, and that goes to the schools. So why are we throwing more money at a problem instead of fixing what's happening? And I guess if I had any say as a citizen of where this money would go, maybe I would adjust some things, or maybe we would stop throwing so much money at that. And I'm not saying I don't support education, but I don't think throwing more technology at it is going to help.
Everybody needs to know that the financial world is changing, and here's what we do know. The dollar is failing and silver is in high demand.
And Economics 101 says demand increases price.
And when financial institutions are buying up the silver and gold, that indicates that they know something's going on and they're getting prepared. Are you prepared?
Noble Gold is there to help all of our viewers and listeners in this crazy economic time, especially in the upcoming of the silver market. All you need to do is run over there to noblegoldinvestments.com/grit and get your free wealth protection kit now. So we like to be really transparent here on Patriots with Grit. And one thing we want you to know is Randy and I are not financial advisors, nor do we play them on TV, Randy? So we highly recommend you get with a financial advisor before making any investments in your precious metals.
One thing's for certain, things are changing. Get prepared. You don't want to miss out, because this is an extreme opportunity in the silver market. Just go to noblegoldinvestments.com/grit. Don't miss out.
Well, and that's what you're saying is one of my beefs. If they're bringing in a data center, they don't want to hear what the public's got to say. They're giving up a ton of potential tax money, so they get it in here and get a little bit of tax money. That money is revenue that we should not, as citizens, that should offset any further tax increases to our property.
Well, actually, one of the people after the meeting asked the mayor that, would you guys, if this is such a great deal and we're going to receive $49 million, then would you guys reassess our property taxes?
They ought to go way down.
Well, that's what you'd think. And he was like, well, we can look into that. And I said, okay, so you're telling me you're just going to keep taking money, keep taking money. I mean, at this point, why wouldn't you? If you can get away with anything and you can do it legally, why wouldn't you? And that's Bingo. Where we're at.
Well, and my question too.
Go ahead. And what really ticks me off about this is the schools drive a lot of the property tax.
That's the highest. When I had the conversation with the assessor.
They keep wanting their money. Keep wanting their money. They're already begging the assessor. What's the rate going to be this year?
My conversation that I may or may not have had with the assessor in December before tax season or taxes were due, the conversation was they start getting calls from the school district at the assessor's office a few weeks before taxes are due, basically saying, what do you have for us? What's coming? What can we buy? Yeah. What can we spend the money on? And they just beat down the door trying to find out how much they're going to get in the kitty.
More of a reason to get your kids out of public school.
But you're still paying tax.
Well, maybe not.
Well, and that's why I wish, I mean, I really hope something happens with the school choice bill. But I'll tell you, with the state auditor saying this, I mean, his words were, he said, public education funding is where they spend most each year. Yet 2/3 of kids in Missouri are below grade average in math, science, and reading. We are 40th in the nation on education. We have nothing to show for it. So why are we continuing to fund this? So the state is already saying they throw funds at public education. Now we have, you know, we have property tax that we're paying that goes to the public schools. And now you want to throw $30 million from some data center into it too. And one of the things that was mentioned by some of the mayor, when he was talking, is that he said, anytime we get a large amount of money, people say, well, I want a new football field or I want a new road. And I really thought it was pretty crappy as an elected official to basically poo-poo on anyone wanting a new road. I mean, that directly affects us. We drive on these roads. My kids are on these roads. And the schools, you know, we want nice schools. We have one of the nicest school districts in the state.
Oh yeah, I'd say it's one of the top.
Yet my kids still can't read or write well, and they are struggling, and that's why I took them out, and I'm having to do the work. So I sacrificed my job and my income as a family to actually teach my kids, and we're still throwing money at a school, and we're not seeing anything out of it. I mean, that's concerning.
I think that maybe these officials say, well, we're just going to throw this at the school because that's a feel-good thing. We're investing in our kids.
Because maybe if that's, you say maybe they're not from, for public education, then you're an enemy.
Right, and maybe that's just pure ignorance, too, knowing.
This is what I want to know. If these, say, for instance, let's reel this thing back in and get back on the data center, which is the topic of the show. Mm-hmm. If they're so important and if it's such a great thing, why all the secrecy? Why kind of the, you know, I don't know if you call it backroom deals in the dark of the night, but why is there not more transparency for the people? Or is it just the fact that we talked about when we began the show, people don't care? I mean, if there's 20,162 voters in Liberty, I bet, what, half of them or more don't even know this thing's coming?
That is correct. So we actually canvassed the neighborhoods nearby, and 75% opened the door. And I want to say I've canvassed for political candidates before, and I never got the responses that I got with this.
What'd you get?
Most of them open their door. Like I said, 75% of them open the door and talk to us for at least anywhere from 3 to 9 minutes each. And each of them, either they didn't know about it, they didn't know it existed, or they knew about it and they were really upset. And they said, well, what can we do? And basically I told them there's not a lot we can do. It's already done. So it was overwhelming after that meeting when the mayor was like, I've talked to tons of people and I've been to retirement parties and everyone's on board with this. Everybody wants this. And you know, a few people said, who are you talking to? Because every person we're talking to, half of them don't even know that this is happening. And I guess another concern that we had is when we were sitting down speaking to them about this with the transparency piece, they kept pushing, this is a great deal, this is a great deal. We want you to know this is a great deal. When I told him, I need to see documents. Can you provide those documents to me? He pushed me to get a Sunshine Law request. He said, if you want to see that, that's more formal than what he was wanting to have a conversation with.
And legally, and he can say that. That's legit.
Yes. And yep. And so we want you to push for this information. And so I said, okay. And today we got a notification from Sarah Raines. And she took 30 days and she gave us an invoice. and it's for 4 hours of work. And the 4 hours of work, if we want those documents, we have to pay about $140 for those documents. And it's a little discerning to me or disheartening to me that I'm having to push this hard for this information. And I think the reason for that is because there's nothing in legislature regulating these AI data centers. And so when our governor and our president said, hey, we want these here, we want these data centers here, I think it was like the gold rush. They were saying, hey, we want to have this new industry for energy or whatever. We want to be on the map because they're happening globally. And they said, we'll provide all of these tax abatements to incentivize these people to build here. And then when they build here, we're just going to make this like really, really nice and pretty for them. And so once they did that, these people said, well, and this isn't uncommon, I want to say, with data centers or with businesses. Non-disclosure agreements are necessary when you're storing data, because if you, for instance, are at U.S. Bank, you don't want people to know that you bank at U.S. Bank, and you don't want people to know where the data and the information is stored for U.S. Bank. So I get that part. But they're tying all the non-disclosure agreements into this so that the public can't say no to it, because anything that we've seen recently with the 4088 is that most people oppose this. Most of the basic regular citizens oppose this. So they did this fast because they wanted them to build it quick and put themselves in these 20 to 25 year contracts so that there's nothing at the state level or federal level to say, hey, we shouldn't do this. We need to hold up for a second and make sure these things are okay and they're safe and
ramrod it through.
Absolutely. And that's what happened. They wanted to make sure to have it. I mean, they wanted it to be rapid, and they did. And so now we're tied into a contract and we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, it seems like wherever you look and listen, whether it's Independence, Missouri, look at all the pushback and backlash they had. Festus, Missouri, I think that's the city here in Missouri where they basically ousted all their city council people. Didn't matter. They're putting it in no matter what. They're steamrolling and you know, running over the people as if they weren't even existing. And that, to me, is the troubling part.
Well, and I want to bring up Festus because I spoke to, she's running for state rep. She's on a Republican, but her name is Ann Maloney, and she was helping fight that fight in Festus. And whenever they basically threw out their entire city council and the mayor, I mean, that's awesome. We looked into that, and that's where I found out that Liberty is a charter city, and we have no referendum rights. We have no rights at all. So if we wanted to throw the mayor out, we would have the city council, 2/3 of the city council would have to do it. They'd have to vote against him. And if we wanted to, as citizens, we would have to petition, and it's anywhere from 10% to 25% of the registered voters. And for each person, you'd have to get a petition notarized stating that you wanted it, wanted them thrown out. And if you want to change the referendum rights or change the charter, you have to petition for the entire city to put it on the next ballot, and then they would vote on that. It's a lot of work to do for free. And especially
when you only
got
2 out of 20,162 voters there. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
So once again, they gave you information, and I don't know if you've been through it to check and make sure it's accurate for what you want. But they're forcing you to jump through hoops instead of saying, hey, you elected me and we're doing this big project that you're really concerned about. Let me get that for you.
Well, we saw this with all the COVID nonsense with the schools and public education.
Right.
Remember that? People were doing sunshine requests and they were just putting these people through the ringer, making it so difficult, taking so long, charging them so much that people just, you know, want to curl up and go away.
And to the fact it's a little thing, but they charge a taxpayer to get the information,
which is public information,
that should have been given to you in the first place.
Well, I wanted to say that too. So it is legal for them to do that.
It is.
I think it's stupid.
It's a Missouri statute.
I read through the legal packet for the Sunshine Law request, and I did push back today. I didn't just pay the $140. One of the other ladies apparently did, and I told her, I was like, I would ask for some money back on that. But one of the things, and I had sent it to Darren earlier. The city clerk is the one that did the work, Sarah Raines, and it said that she was paid $40 an hour. And so for the 4 hours of work, plus their IT department, I was charged for that. So I pushed back a little and said, hey, so I know that in the Sunshine Law request, you have to base what you charge me on the lowest paid person that can do the job, right? So that could be as low as an intern. And that's what you have to charge based on what they are paid hourly. The other part of that is that any of this legal review that they've talked about, and if they're sitting there and saying, okay, well, we can't do this because there's attorney-client privilege, or we can't do this because this is NDAs, they can't charge us for that time. So if all of this is wrapped in NDAs, then maybe her 4 hours of work is going to turn into 20 minutes real quick. So I said that I want a more itemized receipt for this so that I can look at the invoice and say, hey, okay, well, this is legal and this is okay. And if I don't get that, then I'm going to reach out to Catherine Hanaway, the attorney general, to be like, you have a sunshine law request problem.
Right. Okay.
I just can't imagine all this craziness and this nonsense. People are saying, oh, it's for AI. There's not that much. I mean, if you would look at the number of data centers going across the entire United States, how many there are now versus how many are proposed, and you did the average square feet of a data center, the average square footage of a data center, and multiplied it by the 4,300 or 54, whatever it is. I mean, you're talking hundreds of miles and square miles of buildings for data centers. I mean, I have a 5 terabyte hard drive I can put in my front pocket. We know how much our phones will carry. And I'm like, I told Randy today, I said, there is no way that they're building these data centers just for AI or just for, you know, processing all the social media. It's not even on the realm of possibility.
Well, it's just pure craziness. I mean, in Virginia alone, I want to say they have like 589. There's an image I'll share with you guys and you can share with the people, but it's kind of scary looking. It looks like AI, but it's not. It's all of these little homes in a subdivision, and they have multiple data centers in their backyard. And when I say in their backyard, I'm not just being, you know, it's not a phrase. It is in their backyard. They could throw a rock and hit that building. And it's all over. I mean, there's no more yard left. It's kind of sad, especially when you hear that these are going to be obsolete soon. Where are your kids going to play? I mean, there's no yard left.
Well, and then what happens when you try to sell your house? Nobody wants it.
Well, and that's the thing. That's going to happen really fast. I mean, right now we live in Kansas City, Missouri, and my water bill is around $450 a month. Okay.
For your water bill? You have a leak?
Yeah. No. We have talked to them multiple Holy times cow. About this. It's insane. And the people that have...
Go ahead. No, I was going to say...
The people that have... your turn.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. We have a little bit of delay here.
So the people that... The concern I have, the people that have data centers in other states have seen their electric water things skyrocket to like $900 a month. And I'm already... we're already pinching pennies here. We have 4 boys and it's a lot. This is a lot. And like I said, I took my kids out of school to do this stuff here with them, and we're down to 1 income. So when you're budgeting, this can get really hairy really quick.
I said on March 12th, 2020, when I was in my daughter's house with all the COVID con, when it appeared on the scene, I said, this is the most well-executed strategic marketing campaign the media has ever dropped on the people. And I said, COVID is nothing but a green light for something much bigger to come. So they get us conditioned. They get us conditioned to supply chain shortages. They get us conditioned to do what we say, wear a mask, get a vaccine, stay 6 feet apart, don't go to public events. They get us conditioned to all this stuff. Oh, well, prices are going to be just a little higher for just a little longer. Then, okay, well, I'll pay it. Well, then it's going to be a little higher. So you get 4, 5, 6 years into this. So I was talking to Randy today earlier. I said, okay, think about this. When did we start to see our utility bills, our personal property tax bills, and our real estate tax bills start to creep up at a pace that has been a lot more accelerated than in the past? And I told Randy, I said, in my opinion, I think it's been in the last 3 years, give or take a 6-month mm-hmm. window.
Oh, absolutely.
So you have the utility companies doing their thing. We have a farming operation. Our utility bill's gone up like 28%, which, you know, you have your personal property tax, your real estate tax. We all know real estate tax, what's done all over the country, much less here in Missouri and in the Kansas City area. So one can hardly think that these things are being put in place. Are the utility bills going up massively so these companies, Evergy, for example, can get the infrastructure in place for the data centers? Are the taxes going up so that they can give these abatements and wine and dine these developers and these builders to come here and build the data centers? And are we the ones saddling that burden just so, you know, big government and or big industry can take care of what they want to do while the politicians are getting stroked?
Yeah, I mean, it was last week, I want to say, I was looking into, my friend asked me, what is lobbying? And I said, well, I know what it is. And I said, I don't know if it's legal. And so then I thought, well, I need to look this up. I should know about this if I'm going to say that I understand what it is. And so I started looking, and it was on the Missouri Ethics Commission board online. And I saw, well, it is legal, and they do have requirements that they have to meet. One of them, it's transparency. So they have to turn in yearly expense reports of who they're wining and dining. And it made me look through it. And I thought, well, I need to look up and see if there's anything for data centers. And sure enough, I came across one guy. He's living in Indiana, but he works for a company out in Texas. And what they do is they lobby for this company in Texas. They lobby to mayors and, you know, municipalities for data centers and battery plants. And that's his full-time job. He sits there and he says, this is, you know, this is a development you can bring here. This is what we could do for you. This is how much money we could provide to your city. We need you to vote this way. We need to push this through. If you can make some changes here to ordinances, that would be awesome. And that's how it's done. And it really put me in a slump because, man, I've always been like, we the people and small government, and, you know, we're the ones running this. And it really put everything in perspective to me and thought, why am I voting? What's the point of voting if my vote is already bought at the state level?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why are we voting when, why are we even showing up when only 2 out of 20,162 people showed up to an event to even push back at all? It's all rigged against we the people, whether it's voting with electronic voting machines, whether it's the data center topic issue, it's all rigged against everyone.
So,
well, I will say too, because this is a nonpartisan issue, but the two state reps I sat down with were Democrats, or are Democrats, and one is an attorney. And when they were talking to us about this, they sat and listened. And one of them is in my district, and he said, well, you give me your questions and I'll push back on the city and see if I can get some responses. And he's actively doing that for us right now. And then the other one said, I really don't like this tax abatement setup. I don't like the way this is set up and the non-disclosure agreements. He said, I also don't like the way the mayor is speaking to you and saying, because you're not a Liberty resident, that you don't matter. Your voice isn't important, because he goes, that's not even valid. You have a right to ask these questions. I share the same power grid with Liberty. When we lost power a week ago, we're on the hospital grid. We all lost power. You know, my kids attend the Liberty Public Schools here. So I will say, in defense of the state reps, at least, that one, I've had a hard time getting any of the Republican ones to respond back to me, which really
Shocker.
Sucks because I'm a Republican.
Shocker.
And yeah. And then the other issue here is that I don't think they're getting a lot of say in it. There's been some bills that I've seen come across the House floor, and there hasn't been a lot of opposition to them, but then those bills get killed up top. And I want to know why. What's the reason? And I can't answer that because I don't have money and I am not a lobbyist, so I don't know. But I know that it's concerning, and I look at this setup, especially the one here in Liberty with this nonprofit, and it concerns me that we don't get a say in this stuff at all.
My following comment, I can't say that I know this. I mean, it's just my perspective. I'm no better than anybody else. But I could see games being played. We're not going to, you know, with this particular project, maybe you can fill me in on it. Supposedly what I heard is the developer's paying for all the infrastructure upgrades.
That is correct. That is what we were told, and that's what I read in the documents that I could find.
Okay. But regardless,
sounds legit, because when we built our manufacturing facility in Excelsior Springs, we had to pay for a lot of the infrastructure upgrades, which I would never, ever recommend anybody build or start a business or run a business in Excelsior Springs, but that's beside the point, and I've got a long list of reasons why.
So,
okay,
so, you know, they say, well, we're not going to raise water rates. Well, they already have. If your daughter's telling me that their water rates went up.
Sewer.
Oh, sewer.
Okay, is what she told me.
Not water, but electric. So one of the things that they keep preaching on this, and the Nebius plant in Independence is also set up this way, it's called a closed loop system. And again, I'm not an expert on this. The closed loop system is basically like it's you fill it one time and it's recycling right. the water.
It's like a heated they floor in a building. Don't have to,
right. Yeah. The problem is that eventually some of that water will get dirty or whatever, or it will evaporate. They will have to refill it. So one of the things they keep pushing in this data center FAQ is that it's 85% less water usage than the hyperscale ones. The problem is that when we had the city council meeting, one of the ladies, Elvia Beck, who's working with me on this, she asked, I want to know the actual numbers. Can you give me the actual numbers of how much you're going to use every year? And they said one residential house worth of water. I don't know how often they're going to have to refill this, and they don't know it either. When this person came in, her name was Holly, and I can't remember her last name, but she was the logistics person on this. When she presented this to the city council on December 15th, this is the most vague proposal I've ever seen. And that's what made me kind of question, like, what conversations were had outside of the meetings, because there wasn't a lot of info. They said 0% water usage. Well, that's not true. You have to fill it at least once. And then later in one of the Facebook posts, they said, you know, 85% less than the average. And then another on the emails, I think I shared with you guys, Mike Hagan said, well, one residential household. So we keep seeing this where all of their public notices or their documents are, it's a lot of conflicting information, which is why I continue to ask the question, okay, like, what is the number? Where are we standing here? And I can't get a response from them. And I feel like if something's a good deal, if you want people to be so excited about this as if you're talking about it, then you would be able to lay all this information out in front of me and be like, see, it's a great deal.
Make it transparent, baby.
That's not what we're getting.
Sell us on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I told the mayor, you know, I would say this is a great deal if I could see everything, but I can't see everything. And I'm trusting someone I don't know to make the choice. And now that they've made the choice, they've created a nonprofit, which they can do legally, and I'll never see where that money goes. I don't have any rights to audit them or ask any questions.
So, okay, so they say that the city can't take that money. I don't understand that, but that's not, I'm not an attorney.
Yeah.
So could the nonprofit, because my thought is they're going to have capital expenditures for the city. And they're going to come and want to, however they do it, they want to pass a bond or they want to do this and they want to ask the people for money.
More money.
Why can't they take that money and use it for that type of thing? If they need a sewer upgrade, use it for that.
They might. I don't know. That's the thing. We don't get a say in it.
We don't know.
The Institute gets to do that. And maybe they will. I mean, maybe this will be a great thing. I don't know. I know that right now when someone isn't transparent with me and they can't give me all the information, it causes me to question this. And it also causes me to think this doesn't feel very ethical. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's ethical. And I'm concerned with how the public notice went about. I mean, I gave you guys the timeline, and I'm going off memory here, so bear with me. November 7th, MetroBlox came in and filed the application for the data center. November 10th, and I think that even might be the outdated one, but November 10th, they presented an ordinance change, and that ordinance change, it discussed eminent domain and a couple of different topics that would help kind of grease the way here or pave the way for the MetroBlox facility to come in and develop. November 19th, they publish a newspaper article, and it's about this big, and it just says that they're going to have a meeting for 29 acres of land, and this is a city, we're going to discuss city development. If you want to attend the meeting, you come to the planning and zoning meeting on December 9th, and then you come to the city council meeting on December 15th. Then on December 9th, they have the planning and zoning meeting. They also, on December 20th, they posted a sign. So if it's on Old Hughes Road, I believe, and it's off the highway. So off the highway, if you're driving, you can't even see the sign. It's kind of near the Ford plant. It's way off. And it just says, city development. And it just has a date, which is normal. That's what they do.
Legal.
And then after. Yeah, absolutely. And then on November 20th, they put a notice on Facebook saying, hey, we're going to have a city council meeting on the 15th to discuss a development. And that was it. So then the Planning and Zoning Committee gets together on December 9th and they're like, hey, everything looks good. The only thing you need to do is increase the, you need a cement wall around the perimeter of, I think it's like 8 or 9 feet, something like that. I think they originally had it planned at 6 feet. And then December 15th, this Holly lady flies in from LA. She sits down with everyone and she goes, this is the proposal. There's about 8 people in the audience. Those 8 people could have been anyone. They could have been children. They could have been the spouses. We have no idea who they were. They could have been other city people. And they casted a vote and they said, awesome, it's done. We're doing this. And then they posted on December 16th on Facebook and all the comments were really ugly and really questionable. They were, hey, why are you doing this? What do you mean you're going to have a development? And there was about 10 comments. And they said, well, here's a link to the meeting agenda and everything. You can look it up yourself. That link is now broken, by the way. It doesn't actually Shocker. Go to anything. And then the next we heard was March 24th or 25th, I believe. And it was a post saying, Metro Blocks coming to Liberty. And then, oh, if you heard that, my phone is saying it's dying. I'll have to plug it up. I ended up, when they posted this, there was like 333 comments of people just hating on this and asking, what are you talking about? We've never heard of this.
No, where were those 333 people at the city council?
They hadn't heard of it. They hadn't heard
of
it.
No, but I mean, why weren't, if they were that vocal on social media and keyboard warriors, why weren't they in person?
Because the thing is whenever they're putting these public notices, it just says development or whatever.
Right.
You can view these city council meetings online. They are, and I'm not defending this. If you want to know what's going on, you're going to have to be involved. But I will tell you, as a mom of four, we're in soccer and track and football and all the things. When you're running around, the last thing you are wanting to do at the end of the day is go to a 3-hour city council meeting talking about maybe we're going to purchase a Ford truck for the city. Maybe we're going to plant 3 trees or whatever. I'm not saying it's right. I was clearly ignorant to it. However, when you elect officials, a part of it is you're trusting them to say, hey, guys, we're doing this and we want your input. The problem is they don't want our input.
No.
And that's where I question. And this is where I thought, okay, maybe they're doing something with this nonprofit. And I hate that. I don't want to sit here and say Mayor Knutson's a crook. But I will say when you don't show all the documents, you're calling people dumbasses and crazy at the city council meeting for asking questions. And you're telling them, hey, if you want anything, you're going to have to request it and wait 30 days for them to say, you know, pay for this. Or, you know, telling us that we're not going to build another city road or whatever it is you want. You know, he said small-minded. It really doesn't entice people to go to those meetings to be verbally abused or to be treated like their questions are crazy talk. So, yeah, I probably wouldn't want to go to another meeting. And I don't want to dig through 311 pages of legal documents to see what you're actually doing at these meetings. It's like Congress. How many times do you see Congress put a 1,000-page packet together? And guess who's reading it? It's not the congressman, guys. You know who it is? It's their staffer. And that staffer's a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
That staffer's a 25-year-old, and they're the ones writing the bills, and they're the ones talking through this. And then they put all this extra crap in it, and you don't even know what you're voting for.
Well, the thing that gets me, too, is what you just said. They put a little article in the paper. All of it, they know nobody's going to see.
Yep.
So
you know, who gets the paper anymore? How many people pay for it online? I mean,
I would like to tell you guys that it wasn't the Kansas City Star that they posted in. It was the Courier Tribune.
Oh, yeah.
How many people get the Courier Tribune? Do you guys know?
Nowadays, not very many.
By the way, I want to say, too, whenever I went to look for this article, I actually subscribed to it, the digital copy. We couldn't find it. Then we reached out to the editor and I said, hey, where is this? Can I get a copy of the November 19th paper? And they said, well, that goes to the Clay County Archives. And I was like, OK, cool. So I reached out to Clay County Archives. Bless them. They're just volunteer people like I am. And they said, well, we work 3 days a week between, 3 to 4 hours a day. And they said, well, we don't usually keep these kind of documents, you know, that are this new. And I said, okay. And so then I was like, oh man, does this thing even exist? So then they dug a little bit more and they found it to us and sent it to us. And I mean, it was so difficult. It took 2 weeks to get a copy of that paper. 2 weeks.
So how hard is it?
But it was in there.
It was in there, but I will say too, one of the things I've questioned, it talks about, I want to say in there, it talked about 29 acres, okay? And the wording in this is so, I don't like the way the wording is. I almost want to read it to you guys to see what you think of it. But it talks about the building being 29, oh, here it is. When completed, this project will include 3 buildings. That total, less than 560 square feet on approximately 30 acres. I had a person go there and talk to someone. It was Claire Rogers. She's the liaison for the city. And she, this is secondhand information, so I don't know if this is, can be verified, but she said that each building was 30 acres. So 90 acres total. In the public notice, they only talked about 29 acres, but that's because only phase one has been approved. So I guess my question is, again, there's a lot of miscommunication here. Is it 30 acres? Is it 90 acres? The public notice only talks about 30. So how large is this thing? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
500,000 square feet would not require 90 acres. I mean, there's no way.
So with that whole process.
No, but is that per building, though?
Right.
The way that they talk about it, it's like it's per building. So if it's per building, then 90 acres would be right.
Well, going back to that process, they knew, in the way the laws are, they can put it in the least viewed media when it should be the exact opposite. They should have to choose the most effective way that every household in the city can get that information. If it means sending out a flyer to everybody on tax money dollar, that's fine.
We talked at the beginning of the show about the regulations and what the requirements are for public notice. And one of the requirements in Liberty is that they only have to notify people within 185 feet of the property. So in the documents I shared with you guys, and I can get you a map, it's next to the Ford plant. 185 feet of the property doesn't even hit the road. So no one was notified that was a resident anywhere. Okay. And the concern there, one of the bills that I looked at recently, it's not going anywhere right now, but the sponsor on the bill is State Rep Scott Cupps. It's House Bill 3390. And he talks about wanting a 10-mile radius notification, which I was telling people I'd like 5 miles, but 10 would be amazing.
Right.
You should have to have a requirement where you're having to tell people this, you know, and along with that, also making more, because people do use social media more, putting more notices on social media saying this is the development we're talking about and give more details to it. Don't just give us an ordinance number. That ordinance number doesn't, that's like a barcode to me. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So when you went door knocking and the people that you did run into, what percent or how many of them were just thought it was the greatest thing ever? They were all over it.
Zero.
So not one person. Now, how many people did you have going door knocking, if you're guessing?
So each community, when we did the streets, we had 4 people door knocking. We hit about 100 houses in 2 hours was our average. And I mean, not one of those people said that they were on board with it. They were upset. They felt like they couldn't do anything. They asked what could be done. And the problem is that there isn't a whole lot that can be done. Whenever I talked to the state rep, one of the things, and he said this, he and he's an attorney. He said, I don't know if this is legal. I have to look into it. But he said it would be great at the state level if we can require every municipality in the state to have referendum rights, because even us at the state level have referendum rights. It would be great if we had parameters set to where, you know, notices have to be submitted, you know, with the 5 to 10 mile radius. It would be great if we had some type of board where these people could evaluate each of these projects to make sure that they're set up ethically and that it's, you know, something that the taxpayers actually want. And basically like a research team. And I am all for that. I want as much regulation on this as possible, especially if one of my big questions is that, so the tenants are the ones paying for this, right? So we don't know who the tenants are. They rent the space and then they pay the schools, they pay the nonprofit, they pay the developer.
Well, if you're a tenant, shouldn't you have certificate of occupancy once you're in there? And wouldn't that be public information?
Well, not if there's non-disclosure agreements tied to it. They wouldn't have to publish that. And so that, also, if it's attached to the nonprofit might see that information, but we wouldn't because that's not public information.
So if it's also wonderful and great, that should be transparent.
Yeah.
But like you said, anytime you have attorneys involved, it's, you know, it's maybe illegal, but is it ethical?
Well, and we have three attorneys right now. We have the mayor, we have Kevin Graham, and then the attorney that that put the articles of incorporation in place. He's actually the attorney that was defending the city of Independence against the people on theirs. So there's a whole lot of canoodling here that's just a little bit questionable for me.
So what do you know about, okay, it goes in, all these houses now depreciate. I don't know how
you don't know that. You don't know they're going to depreciate.
I bet I wouldn't buy one of them if it was within so many feet of one of those things. So let's just say that's let's just say that that happens. Sorry. Nobody wants to buy the house and it depreciates the value of it.
But I'm going to throw something in here. From where this data center is proposed, which I think I have a very good idea where it's proposed because I go that way quite often. Mm-hmm. It's not in a residential area. Am I correct?
It's not, but there is a retirement home, Our Lady of Mercy, I believe, that's not far from it. And then the school that my kid attends, he's not there physically anymore, but South Valley Middle School is not too far from it. And then there's the town of Glen Eyre, which they're their own township, so they don't really count in this situation because they're not Liberty residents, but it would still affect them. So it's kind of concerning.
I don't know if Our Lady of Mercy... Wait, I'm thinking of another one. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. I know where you're talking about. And there's another one that was on down the road that is, I don't think, being utilized anymore, but I that makes sense now.
So I'm going to withdraw that statement for Liberty.
Okay.
But I'm talking about anywhere else where the people had them in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do those people, now their house is depreciated, does their assessment go down?
I don't know. I honestly don't know that.
Their taxes will probably go up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know that. I know whenever, and this is a little bit different, but kind of in the similar area. I know what the ordinance is like for eminent domain. If the city needs to acquire some of your land and they help your property value increase, then you have to actually pay them the difference. I know that is the case in Liberty. And if they depreciate your property, then they don't have to pay you. I know that's exactly how it's set
it's up. Not, it's not.
But knowing how twisted a lot of these goofy politicians are in these cities and counties and jurisdictions, they'll probably say, my gosh, you've got a data center behind your house. The value just went way up.
Why?
But that's the way they think. Think about that.
My thing is, I think about different companies like BlackRock, right? And I know that this is, again, a different topic, but it kind of made me think of this whenever I started looking at the data center stuff. So if you tax me out of my home or you increase utilities to the point where I can't afford it, and, you know, when that happens, let's say the government at that point or the city can purchase my property. If they purchase my property, then they can rent it out. What I'm saying here is opinion, that is assumption, but I can't.
You need to be wearing this tinfoil hat for that comment. You need to be wearing that tinfoil hat.
I need one that has a star on the top because
What you're saying is right on track.
I know.
But people think you're goofy, but we don't.
Oh, I know. But I'm only talking because when you look at this, it's like analytics, right? I mean, just look at the numbers, look at the projections here. Any business person could look at something and project what they think is going to occur, right? That's what they're paid to do. And so when you look at this, I as a family, as a one income home, having four kids, I'm homeschooling, you can kind of see where this is. Our utilities are already high. We're going to be building the ballpark here in Kansas City. So I'm sure we're going to be paying for that.
Got to have money for that.
At some point, our income isn't going to meet the need here. And we're going to have to look elsewhere. We're already looking at that. Whenever in 2020, at the time, we were probably putting away about $3,000 a month. And now I'd say we're about 2,000 upside down. And we haven't changed our living. We haven't changed the way we live. We are not, we don't have, if you guys come to my house, you're going to see unfinished projects. You're not going to see an RV. You're not going to see a boat. You're not going to see, we don't have a summer home somewhere. We haven't changed the way that we live. Even our bills, I have four boys. Our grocery bill is probably anywhere from $1,200 to $1,600 a month. And we're eating chicken, and I'm not exaggerating. We are eating chicken and ground beef every night for dinner. And that's the
Sounds
cheapest meat
me.
You're going to find.
But if you wanted to have some chickens or cows in your backyard, the city of Kansas City would probably be like, oh my, no, we can't do that. I mean, that's the
absolutely not.
Cow farts are going to kill the community.
Well, and they just approved a couple, maybe a year or two ago, where you could, in an HOA, have chickens. So it's just crazy to me because I feel like the way that this is being set up, if we can't afford our home, then who's going to purchase it? I mean,
BlackRock, Blackstone, State Street, Vanguard, there you go.
Yeah, and I see that happening. I am definitely concerned. You said Blackstone?
There's Black Rock, and I think
there's another Black something.
Okay. I thought it was Blackstone.
Well, but I'm wondering if it is Blackstone, I'll have to look. But I will tell you that lobbyist that came in that was for battery plants and data centers, they are a company that is backed by Blackstone. So I'll have to look because I don't know if Blackstone is. I know Black Rock, but if Blackstone is, that would
there's
be,
two blacks.
Be very, and that would be interesting if that was the case, because then I could definitely say, yep, that's where they're going. They'd like to own our property.
Well, I mean, it's that way everywhere. I mean, look what, I mean, 28% utility bill increases just for electricity for us. I mean,
yeah,
water, I've never heard of a water bill, just a standard water bill of a family of five or six people, $400. I mean, does that include everything? I'm sure that includes trash.
Yeah, trash. And
still,
we, unfortunately, we have none of the benefits of living in Kansas City. We live in Kansas City and we don't really see any of the good stuff because we're in Clay County too. So
right.
It just, I mean, there's not a lot of benefit to living here. Originally, we came here because of the schools, and then that ended up not panning out. And so now it's kind of like, what's the point of staying? I mean, it's concerning when I'm looking at places like Excelsior Springs, and there's nothing against them, but you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there. I've definitely looked at more of the country area, but another issue I have is that if I start looking at country living, I mean, there's a chance that they're going to build a data center or do something there. I mean, they're already pushing this eminent domain stuff where if they want to take farmland, they can.
See, that's a whole nother issue. That to me, it steps way outside the Constitution.
Well, think about this though. You are getting to pay Kansas City 1% of your earnings tax. So, you know, that's, you gotta yep. win there, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was super excited about that. I also loved the next day when Mayor Lucas was like, hey, we found $600 million for a new stadium. And I thought, wow, that's great. You just
amazing.
Told me yesterday we wouldn't even be able to find police or any first responders, but okay. Uh-huh.
It's amazing. Jen, I want to give you the last words here. What would our viewers, our audience, our listeners, what is one good piece of advice you'd give them as we close out today?
No matter what political side you belong to, I would suggest that you question everyone and that you always fact check. If you trust this person as a politician, they're still a politician, and ultimately you don't know what's on the other end of that. So I would say, dig into the information. It's okay for you to ask questions, and you don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be ugly about it, but truth is important, and we need more truth finders.
Speaking of truth finders, if people want to find out some truth, where can they go on your Facebook page to find out information on this data center?
Our data center Facebook page is called NoMo, like Missouri, Data Centers-Liberty. And you can see everything is posted there along with our timeline. And I also share our Google Drive with any documents that I receive from the city or any findings that I have. So you can dig through it yourself.
Perfect. We'll include all those a lot of those Google documents in this show. So for our viewers and our listeners can go there and watch that and kind of dig into what you've been researching. Jen, thanks so much for being on here today. We appreciate everything you and your team are doing to raise awareness in the great city of Liberty, Missouri. Want to just say thank you for all your hard work and keep it up.
Thank you. I really appreciate you.
All right. Take care. We'll see you.